gifts, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ, one a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies, one a love like you, be like you, just like you did, one a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest that I've known the longest hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. Want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want a love like and be like it, just like it did. I want to walk like it's all like, just like you did. Want to be like it, live like it, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go, that we'll know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been hard. What to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord.
Praise God, and welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry, International Radio Broadcast. I'm just excited about the broadcast tonight. Oh, my gosh. This just narrows it down to a woman living in the palace, having everything, and also having in her life a great man of God. And because of her upbringing and her pride, among other things, I'll let Pastor Shana go into that, she became someone that we never want to become. So God has pointed this out to us for us to know how he deals with women and what he wants us to be like. So I thank God tonight for the anointed woman of God, Pastor Shana Wise, and I'm sure she'll tell you about the upcoming women's conference that she's having in another week or so. And I just want to give a shout out to all the nations that join us on demand. We praise God for you. I plead the blood of Jesus over every nation, every person in that nation that joins in to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. So tonight, I want you to get your Bibles, put on your listening ear, because the Bible says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. My God, God has so many personal messages to us. He talks all the time. Yes, he does. He'll talk to you no matter where you are, no matter what place in God you're at, no matter what geographical location. He always has something to say to you. That should make you feel really special. I know it makes me feel like that. I'm a dreamer, and that's mainly how he speaks to me. But can you hear him in your listening ear, in the spirit, when he speaks? You have to fine-tune your ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you through his word. People cannot get it right sometimes. So we bless God tonight. We give him all the praise, honor, and glory. I have a praise report. First, I want to let you know who I am. I'm Evangelist Linda Casares, the CEO and founder of this dedicated and consecrated radio broadcast, radio station to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I went to get a mammogram last Friday, and on Monday the doctor called and said I needed another one and an ultrasound because they saw something. And I was at Shalom Peace for days. The ultrasound was scheduled yesterday along with another mammogram, a detailed one. And a prophet called me and ministered what the Lord had said for him to tell me. I had sent out prayer requests for people to pray, but I just believed God. I had the peace of God for days. I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me on Tuesday and say there is no cancer. And I just kept that to myself and walked in peace. So I went yesterday, had the test done. The young lady came in and said the doctor said there is no cancer. So I give him all the praise, honor, and all the glory. And I just speak healing and wholeness to those that got a diagnosis from the devil, that you would be healed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the blood of Jesus would cover you and dissolve every cancerous cell in your body. Speak wholeness and wellness to every woman even getting ready to go and get another mammogram, a yearly mammogram, that they would find nothing in Jesus' name. They said there was a tiny little cyst. I said, well, should it be taken out? And they said, it's so tiny. She said, no, just come back in 6 months or so. So I bless God. I said, Lord, I don't need to be going through nothing else. I thank him for who he is. Let's pray. Father, we lift up this broadcast to you and the woman of God. We ask that you would pour out your spirit upon her flesh. We ask, God, that you would just bless her abundantly. I'm honored and privileged to have this woman of God on this radio broadcast. And I ask, God, that you would return a blessing to her as she blesses us from your word this evening. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm just going to cut to the chase and introduce to you Pastor Shayna Wise. She can share with you her ministry and upcoming events. And she's going to minister on Micah, the wife of King David, the daughter of Saul. God bless you, Pastor Wise. How you doing tonight?
Amen, amen. I am doing well. Thank you, thank you. Thank you again, Evangelist, for having me on your broadcast again. I think we're in about the fourth week here, and it's been a blessing to be on here to share. And I just want to thank you again for giving me the opportunity to do that. Amen. And I praise God for your praise report on yesterday. He is a healer. And I praise God for healing. And most importantly, spiritual healing. We know the first and greatest healing is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And then the physical healings that come because of his blood. So I praise God for you, my dear sister in Christ. I am truly excited because on next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, October the 13th, we are having a women's conference down here in Jacksonville, Florida. If you are in the Jacksonville, Florida, and you are interested in attending, please visit our website at ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com. Again, it's ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com. There you can get all the information about our upcoming conference, plus our upcoming meetings in Jacksonville and Orlando. And I just want to thank the saints for all your prayers, all of your encouragement, because if anybody is doing any type of work for the Lord wholeheartedly, you will come up against opposition. You will come up against various tactics that the enemy will throw. But I just want to remind the listeners to be like Nehemiah and keep on building. Keep going forward until it is complete. And if God told you to do it, so shall it be. Amen. And I'm just praising him because this conference was prophesied to me a couple years ago. And for it to come to fruition now is such a, just a blessing. It's such a, I'm just overwhelmed with joy. So continue to pray with me, saints, if you're able to make it. If not, we will have another one next year. Amen. So I am just thankful for what the Lord is doing. I also want to take time. I just watched the news broadcast right before I got on and saw that Indonesia was hit with a tsunami within the last couple of days, and a lot of people have lost their lives. They're still searching for people. People are still recovering from the hurricanes that hit in the Carolinas here in the United States a few weeks ago. And I just want to uplift them right now because I could only imagine what they are going through. Father God, I just thank you right now. Father God, for your children, Father God, the ones who have been affected by natural disasters in various parts of the earth, Father God. And we know of now because of the media coverage, but what about when the media coverage is gone? People are still trying to piece and put their lives back together. But we uplift them to you right now, Jesus. And sometimes, Father God, disasters have to come for people to recognize that you are Lord. I thank you right now for all the ones that you shook up through the storms. Father God, I thank you for the ones, Father God, that are giving their life to Christ right now because they know and understand if it wasn't for God, they wouldn't be here. So I thank you, Father God, that you can even use the storms of life to get our attention, Father God. And I'm praying for the ones who still don't believe, that they quickly repent, Father God, and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, while there is still time. Father God, I just thank you right now for the testimonies that's going to come forth, Father God, because we know after the storms, Father God, there are testimonies, there are stories of how we made it over. So I thank you in advance for them, Father God. Thank you for all the workers that are there that you are sending. Give them strength right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and let us remember how precious that this life is and how fleeting that it is, Father God. For we know that we are just here for a moment. And Father God, we must always be ready for your return, Father God. And we must even be ready for that hour when it's our time to go. But we thank you right now that our soul is anchored in you, Christ Jesus. And that is my prayer, Father God, that, Father God, we as the believers let this world know about a risen Savior named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't want people to die without knowing a Savior. And we could have opened up our mouth and shared about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Father God, for not being sensitive to souls, not being sensitive to the harvest, not being sensitive to the fruit that is ready, hallelujah, to receive the salvation of the Lord. Father God, and I just thank you that you are here on this broadcast. I thank you for the listeners. May they receive the word. Let them that are listening have an ear to hear and understand, hallelujah, what the Lord is speaking. Father God, I thank you for even revelation, fresh revelation that comes only from your word. I am just the vessel. I am the pot, and you are the potter. And I just thank you for molding me into what you have for me to be. And I bless you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, saints, I'm going to get into quickly Mikkel, I wrote about her in my book, Acts of Intercession. She's one of the 33 women that I wrote about in Acts of Intercession. She has an interesting story. I chose to focus on her act of intercession. In the book, I break down the different types of intercessions. And one point that I really want to drive home again, and I've been saying it throughout the broadcast, is that God can use you despite of you. All of us in life make good choices, and sometimes you make bad choices. But I want to focus on tonight the good choice that she made in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. Her act of intercession was that she stopped her daddy, Saul, King Saul, planned to kill her husband, King David, and helping David escape. That was her act of intercession. So again, saints, if you would join me in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. It reads, and I'm reading from the New International Version, Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. But Mikal, David's wife, warned him, if you do not run for your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Mikal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then Mikal took an idol and laid it on the bed, covering it with a garment and pinning some goat's hair at his head. So I'm going to just stop right there. So at this point, David married King Saul's daughter, Mikal. And she was kind of like a little pawn. Just let me do some background on the text. King Saul was appointed the first king of Israel. Period in time, Israel had judges. They didn't have kings. They had judges. And God chose to mediate and speak through the judges. They were kind of like the spiritual leaders of Israel. But Israel got complacent in that, and they were looking around at the other nations, and the other nations had kings. And they said, well, we want a king of our own. So, you know, they were doing just fine without a king. But they wanted to have a king. So God said, okay, y'all can have a king, you know. But that really wasn't what God had wanted for them. That's what the people wanted. So, and again, I'm summarizing. You would have to go back and read 1 Samuel to get all of the background. But I'm summarizing for time's sake. So King Saul became, he was the prophet Samuel found him and he anointed him king. But little after that, Saul got the big head and he decided to please people more than to please God. He did things that was contrary to what God wanted him to do. And his heart was, again, fixed more towards people pleasing than God pleasing. And because of that, he lost his anointing. So the anointing that was on him, God took it away because his heart wasn't for God. To make a long story short, it's basically for the things of the world, just for the earthly things and not of God. So fast forward a little bit. God told Samuel he rejected Saul and sent Samuel to find another king, and Samuel found David. We all know David was the shepherd boy. He defeated Goliath. When he did defeat Goliath, Saul wanted him to come and live with him. But at that point, when the anointing left Saul, a tormenting spirit entered Saul. Okay, so I think it's very important that you know the background of the text. And this tormenting spirit caused him to view David in a way of a threat. Because the anointing that used to be on him now rested on David. And he knows just a matter of time before David took his place, his throne, and he was insecure about that, to say the least. And Saul used to like to, because of the spirit that was in him, and it was tormenting him, he had a love-hate relationship for David. But then as time went on, he really just started just not to like David at all. And that's what a tormented spirit will do to you. A tormented spirit will cause you to see everything distorted. Because, again, it's residing in the vessel where God isn't ruling. It is. So now fast forward. David ended up marrying King Saul's daughter, Michal. And she loved her some David. She really did. She loved David, truly loved him. But yet, she, you know, she was kind of like caught in the middle of two men. One of the men, her father, he was the king of Israel, you know, and she was married to the next king, you know. And at one time, David was living in the same household with Saul. So she it wasn't like she just met David. She had knew him for a while. And she married him. And she probably saw her father go from seeing him with the anointing to seeing him with a tormented spirit. Now I want to stop and pause right here because I want to share with you that when I wrote this chapter in the book, this chapter was a little bit difficult for me to write, and it brought me to quite a few tears. Because if any one of you guys that are listening online or watching on YouTube, if any one of you has had to deal with a close family member that you know is tormented or has a mental illness or anything along that nature, you will know where I'm coming from, because my own father had some issues and he struggled with some things. And you, as a child, you love your parents. You love your parents. You don't know nothing else but to love. And sometimes they might can treat you maybe good or bad, but you love them. And to see your close loved one struggling with mental illness, with spirits, with torment, it can be mentally, it can be a lot. It could be a lot. So, again, I shed some tears because this story right here really hit home for me. It really was like, wow. But a lot of the tears was from because of bringing back some memories, maybe some unpleasant memories. And then also, too, a lot of the tears came, too, because I did receive some revelation about, some revelation through this story. And so, again, that's what I want to talk about again tonight. This young lady, again, grew up in the palace with her daddy, saw him go from being anointed to being tormented. And some of us have seen some of our loved ones. You might be a parent of a child who you know you might have raised them right, but they just then went off track. Or maybe you're the child of a parent who has some mental issues or has some tormenting spirits or even demonic spirits. Maybe it might not have been that close. It might have been a brother or a sister, a cousin, an auntie. But this stuff runs deep, and it's not so uncommon in families. And so I want to, I'm taking my time and I'm slow walking this lesson because I like to come from the text from different angles. So, again, at this point in the text, King Saul wanted to kill David. And if you go back and read through Samuel, 1 Samuel, this isn't the first time that King Saul was trying to kill David. Tried to kill him quite a few times. And every time David escaped, every time, Saul couldn't lay a hand on David. And there was even a time where David could have took King Saul's life. But he still respected and reverenced him. And he said he wouldn't put his hand on God's anointed. Now think about that, saints. And this is where this really got me really deep. Because David had a chance. The man that was trying to kill you, when it was your turn to kill him, you feared God more than him. And that's just a point I would like to pause. David still reverenced King Saul. He looked up to him. Mind you, he was in the palace. At first, the relationship first started off, King Saul, when he would get tormented or go through his little fits, David would play the harp. And that would calm and soothe his spirit. Saul knew that he had messed up, but he couldn't accept it. And he couldn't accept that this man, David, that God rejected him and put the anointing on David. And he had a hard time coming to grips with that. Mind you, all of this is playing out in front of his daughter. So once again, you are a wife to a king and a daughter of another king. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Jesus. And again, I have to take my time with this because I can get just a little emotional talking about this, because it can be just a touchy subject. And again, I'm getting teary-eyed now because it's a little, it kind of mirrors me and my marriage. But one thing that I want to talk about, as I was thinking and meditating about this passage and what I was going to say, I want to address the married couples. When you get married, and God has brought you together with the spouse that you're supposed to be with, at that point, I don't care who it is, as a woman, no man has more influence over you than your husband, and that includes your own father. Even though your father was the authority figure in your life for all those years, when you get married and you are in covenant with the man that you are supposed to be with, you have to choose. It's not like you even have to choose a side, but you got to know where you stand in your position in the marriage. And nobody can come between your marriage. And I pray that helps somebody on today, because there's a lot of people in marriages that's struggling because their parents have more influence over them than their spouse. And that's backwards. And the Bible said man got to leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife. Okay? But still in today's society, you know, and it don't even have to just be your parents. Some people, friends, some people, you know, maybe it's their job, might have more influence over their marriage. Or maybe, you know, their friends have more influence, and meaning that they out-trump the spouse. And that is backwards. And Michael gives us a good example of how we are to respond in our marriage, when, especially when somebody else is coming up against your spouse. In her situation, her father wanted her husband dead. She found out about it, and she said, I love him. I love David. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to defy my father's plans, and I'm going to spoil them, and I'm going to aid in my husband's life. I'm going to help him escape the evil plans of my father. And I just want to stop right there again and help somebody, because in this Christian walk, you will be confronted and you will be challenged in your various relationships. And whether you are married or single, you have to decide who you stand with and what you stand for. Either you're going to be with Christ or you ain't. Either you're going to obey God or you're not. Michael could have easily appeased her father and let this plan go down and have her husband killed. But instead, because she loved her husband, she helped to spoil the plans of the enemy, which unfortunately was coming through her father. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 28 through 29, let me just say another state where Saul was at. Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him. Saul became even more afraid of him and remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. That's powerful. Let me read that one more time. Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him. Saul became even more afraid of him and remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. And once again, saints, if anybody has any type of education, background, or studies in this, and more so spiritual warfare, but demons, the demonic, tormenting spirits, if you have ever studied, I in the past, I've did a great deal of study of spiritual warfare, demons, all of that stuff, the different types. And when somebody is living in torment, and a tormented spirit, and like I said again, not only will it distort your view and your vision of different people's situations and relationships, it will cause you to walk into fear. Because mind you, the text says that Saul became even more afraid. So he looked at the anointed one as his enemy. The same anointing that rested on you is resting on your daughter's husband. He was upset at the fact that his daughter loved her husband more than him. He couldn't handle it. And it said he remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. And I can just, again, I can only imagine how Michal internalized this. Could you imagine? Could you imagine, saints, how she internalized, my own father hates my husband? And we could take it further. So if you hate my husband, then what you feel about me? Because I married him, and at first you was down with it. But really you weren't, because when I married him, you were still in a state of torment. And so your motives for the marriage was wrong. Because still, once again, Saul gave Michal to David. Let's tell the truth about that. Go back and read Samuel. He fought for her. David went out to battle to fight for her hand in marriage. And Saul looked at it. It wasn't even about his daughter. It was about his personal gain and agenda. But when he realized, I can't use David like I was, because every time I try to use him, God keeps elevating him. God keeps blessing him. God keeps giving him the victory. The people are looking more at him than me. The people see the anointing on him, and they don't see it on me no more. So now David is a threat, and he's married to my daughter. And then think about how Michal felt that, geez, Dad, so you don't even love me enough. Think about it. Your father wants to kill your husband. What kind of love is that? So really, how do you think she internalized that? That you want to kill who I love. So then what's your love for me? So let me break it down, saints. When you are not walking in the love of God, your love is conditional. Your love is based on what you want and what you feel. Saul really had lost, he got out of touch with what love was. And that's a good teaching point, saints, that we got to be careful of our motives. We have to be careful of going, just throwing that word love around. Think about it. A lot of relationships today are not working because people say they love you, But their love comes with conditions. I love you if you do this. I love you if you do that. I love you if you do it my way. If you don't disagree with me. If you do everything I say, do it how I say. Jump when I say jump. Come when I say come. Go when I say go. Those are called conditions. You know, some people, they, oh, I love him. Why? Because of the way he looked. That's conditional. Or a guy, oh, I love her, the way she looked. That's conditional. And there's a lot of relationships people think they so much, oh, I love him. They're in, you know, these sexual relationships. And really, that's just, you say it's love, but the truth is it's lust. It's lust. So this is another good lesson to examine love. At this point, Mikhail, notice I keep saying at this point because I'm going to break some more stuff down a little bit later. But at this point, Mikhail loved David. She loved him. And if that mean, and she helped him to escape. So she said, I'd rather not be with you, be apart from you. Don't know when the next time I'm going to see you, but I want to save your life. I want you to live. That's how deep my love goes. I would defy my father and even risk my own life. Because remember, King Saul still had, back in those days, you did what the king said. And if you try to defy the king can get you killed or banished. And if you don't believe me, go back and read the story of Esther, the first chapter. You do not, when the king says something, so it is. So if King Saul's plot was to kill David and she intervened, she could have lost her life herself. But she chose to risk her life because of love. At that point, her love was unconditional for her husband, David. And again, saints, we have to examine our relationships. We have to examine. And again, this goes for marriages. A lot of divorces is at the highest it's ever been. People don't even believe in marriage no more. There's a lot of people that's not even believing in marriage anymore. And then a lot of these celebrities and the way the world is going, people just get married for show. It ain't even about the other person. It ain't about love. It's for show. Let's show off in front of the other people. Let's make this big old grand wedding because I want to walk down in this dress and I want to spend this much money and I want to do that. That's not love. The wedding is just for the moment. It's what happens when the wedding's over. Your marriage. You know, and a lot of marriages are not lasting. They're not falling apart. Number one, because the foundation is not laid. Your foundation needs to be laid in Christ. A lot of people don't understand that marriage was instituted by God himself. They want to take God out the equation and do what they want to do. But if you go back to the book of Genesis, read about around chapter 2, God initiated the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. And then again, that's where we find that scripture that man ought to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. That's where we first find that scripture. So again, many marriages are failing because they're based on conditions. First of all, the foundation's not laid. The foundation is not laid. The people are getting married for the wrong reason. And then if you're getting married for superficial reasons, what can you do for me? Or what are you, what's your value to me? Or I'm just marrying you off your looks. Or what you can do for me. Or whatever, all the wrong reasons, instead of marrying because the Lord showed the man his wife, and he said, that's your wife, you know. And then she saw the Lord. You know, they came together, a holy union. And they got married because, not so much because they love each other so much, but because they want to honor God. They want to be that godly example in the earth. Because, saints, I'd have been married almost 20 years. It'd be 18 years in February. I'd have been with my husband, known him about 21 years now. And there's going to be times in your marriages where, yeah, you'll be in love, and then sometimes you won't, you know, you won't be feeling it like that. Like, yeah, I love you, you know, yeah. But then today it's like, yeah, you know, you're all right. It's kind of like it goes up and down. But the thing about it is that remembering that you took those vows unto God, for better or for worse, is sickness and poor, you know, sickness and in health, and richer or poor, to death do you part. You took those vows to God. And so again, just willing to stay committed even past your feelings. That's, you know, to love your spouse. Because the truth of the matter is, God has to teach you how to love. He has to teach you how to love your spouse. He has to teach you how to love other people. God has to teach you. And in a marriage, he's continually, I'm a witness that he is continuously growing me and my husband through the marriage. Amen. And of course I love my husband. And I love him. I love him not just with a wifely love, but I'm committed to him. That's my, like, it don't matter what. Don't matter what it is, what's going on, I'm here. I'm not going nowhere. And I'm going to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful to you because I love you and I love the God in you. I love God. No, you ain't perfect. No, you mess up. We all do. But I'm committed. And Mikhail was committed to David. And I know there's probably a lot of people that's single on the broadcast, but this message can still apply to you as well. You know, how committed to you are you to God? How committed are you to God as far as it relates to your relationship with others? Are others able to persuade you to do the wrong thing because their relationship is off with God? Saul's relationship was off. He wasn't even worshiping God. And so because he wasn't worshiping, he was doing all kind of crazy, silly, dumb stuff against David. But that's what the devil will have you do. The devil will have you be threatened by anointed people. And the truth of the matter is, what I love about this story is that it wasn't like Saul couldn't have the anointing or didn't have it. We have to understand and realize that in the time and period that we are in, Jesus Christ has died and the Holy Spirit has come. And all of us have access to the same Jesus and same Holy Spirit. We all have to recognize that we have different assignments and callings in the body of Christ. But we have to know and understand and realize is that the same power, that same Holy Ghost power, is available to all that believe. So there's no need to be intimidated, fear of another man or woman because of the anointing on their life. Oh, I'm about to preach right here. But we see this a lot in the modern day church. We see people that's in ministries, that's in the body, and yet they just hating on their brother and sister because of the anointing. They can't even say, King Saul did not have one reason to hate David. David adored King Saul. He loved King Saul. He loved him. And he never tried to hurt him, harm him. And when it was his time, he could have killed him. And he said, no, I will not do it. But it didn't stop Saul from hating David. And the reason, it really wasn't David, it was the anointing on his life. And I just want to stop here right now, saints, and teach on that. And because I see it all the time. I experience it. People will hate on you because of your anointing. They don't have no reason not to like you. They don't even know you like that. But, boy, they won't support you. They'll talk against you. They will try to run you in the ground because of the anointing that God has placed on your life. And, saints, you just got to know who you are, and you got to respond like David. David kept following God. He kept worshiping God. He kept praying, praising God, obeying God. And guess what God did for him? Kept elevating him. Kept blessing him. Amen. Now, am I to say that David was perfect? No, he made mistakes. You know, he slept with that woman that wasn't none of his wife, Bathsheba. You know that. He messed up. And then, so some say, well, why didn't he lose his anointing like Saul? Because David repented. Okay? So here's another teaching point. Repentance. Repentance. God is looking at your heart, saints. And guess what? Yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But are you willing to admit that I sinned against God? I'm sorry. And then you turn and stop doing that. King Saul wasn't repentant. And unfortunately, it led him to get a spirit of torment. And the Bible said God sent it to him. Yowzers. Yowzers. That's a whole nother lesson, saints, I ain't going to teach about. But the teaching point I want to make right here is that repentance is so important. And that's the problem with a lot of the body today, that we just want to keep going forward, saying we're going forward in God, but we won't repent. And then people wondering why they can't get a prayer through. They wondering why the church is dead. They wondering why the church is lukewarm. They wondering why no miracles, signs, wonders, and healings aren't happening. They wondering why they just stagnant and stuck. Because the anointing will only go so far. But when you're sitting up there, when you have an unrepentant heart, and now your heart is at odds against God, he can't bless no mess. He can't do it because that's not, we serve a holy God. And if we're going to minister, if we're going to do ministry in his name, he needs our heart to be right. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. But he does expect us to, when we wrong, to repent. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And praise God for the prophets. Because Samuel did, you know, go to Saul, let him know. But Saul, you know, Saul wanted to choose to serve the people rather than God. Praise God for the prophet Nathan that confronted David. Because when David slept with Bathsheba and thought he got away with it, Nathan came and confronted him. He confronted that king. And that's the problem with the body now. We too scared to go and confront the leaders. I'm going to leave that alone. No, I ain't. Let me run it. Nathan came and confronted King David and said, why are you sleeping with that man's wife? You got him killed. You slept with her, and you had a baby. And then David realized right then, I've been exposed. But what did he choose to do? Well, go look in your Bible. It says, oh, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He repented. Hallelujah. He repented, and guess what, saints? He didn't lose the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That helped somebody. I pray that helped somebody. And a lot of times, and yeah, we do have to pray about how we approach various people in the church. But saints, I have seen people. I have personally witnessed and seen people in leadership positions in the church sinning, in error, having affairs, you know, doing all kind of wrong things, and you still in leadership position. And then, you know,
if somebody come to you, then you want to say they the devil or they're causing trouble. But the thing is, if you are committing a sin, you better be praying to God for a Nathan or a Samuel or somebody to stop you. You because to come and confront you, you know, because you don't want to end up like Saul. And again, and people still keep going and going along and think they're doing God's work. And, yeah, you can keep going along and doing it, but what kind of witness are you? What you going to say? Do as I say and not as I do? Amen. Holy Ghost just won't let me leave that alone. But that's the problem in a lot of churches right now. People too scared to go and confront sin. They too big, oh, well, that's the bishop, that's the pastor, that's the, you know, it'll be all right. I'm going to just pray for him. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because, yeah, you do have to, you have to have some wisdom now. You have to have wisdom. And, yes, prayer works. But then it's just sometimes you just need to confront. And then it's not even just, they don't even have to be a leader in the church. They can just be your brother and sister in Christ. And you know they sinning. And you just going to sit back and be quiet. Because sometimes your silence is condoning what they doing. Hello? Hello? Woo, Jesus. I know, Linda, y'all know you're going to have something to say after this. But, yeah. Yeah. So, again, let's get back to the topic. The whole point of confrontation is to drive people to repentance. Hallelujah. It's not to condemn them. It's not to judge them. It's not to blow them up and put them on Front Street. It's not to just drag them through the mud. No, as brothers and sisters of Christ, we got to come to each other in love. I'm coming to you because I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I see you going down this street. I see you going down this path, and it's contrary to God. I see that you're sinning. And because I love you in the name of Jesus, I just want to let you know, please, in the name of Jesus, stop, stop, please stop, please turn and repent, because Jesus said the kingdom is at hand, hallelujah, I love you. And a lot of people just got out of confronting, because sometimes people, they'll confront, and they're acting like they're God, they're the judge. You know, we know that God is the only judge, but there is a way to handle these situations. And we can come and we can confront each other in godly love. Amen. And I do believe that the church would be much better if we were able to hold each other accountable when we see our brother and sister walking in sin. Hallelujah. Saul was confronted. And then it was his choice not to repent. David was confronted, not once but twice, because he took a census too. And God really frowned upon that one, too. And he had to pay the price for that one, too. But guess what? He repented then, too. And as you see, throughout David's lifetime, God prospered him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And his wife, Michal, was a witness to that prosperity. Oh, she saw the hand of God on her husband's life at that time. And she said, I choose to protect my husband than obey my wicked father. And that's what we, you know, saints, again, there's a lot of people in this world that's wicked, and they have wicked plans, and they have wicked agendas, and they want us to go along with it, and a lot of them will want us to go along because, oh, you my blood, you my family, and y'all all got somebody in your family that ain't right, and they be trying to get you to go along with some old nonsense that ain't righteous. Hallelujah. But then you got to get to a point that you put your foot down and say, oh, no, baby, I know who I serve, and I don't care if we flesh and blood. I know the truth. Now go get yourself set free. Hallelujah. I still get a pull with me. You know, it's a lot of things that I just can't just go along with because I've been changed. Hallelujah. God has changed my life. I know how good he's been to me, and I'm not going to go back to no nonsense. I know him for myself. And a lot of my family and friends, they know, don't come to Shana with that, because they already know I'm not going to go for it. And they especially know you don't outride my husband. I had to do that with my own father. Bless his soul. He has gone on now. He's passed on. But, you know, there was a couple times I had to draw the line with him and said, Daddy, I love you. You know, I love you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, but you don't out-trump my husband. He didn't quite like that. But you can't do nothing but respect it. And then for many of us, so that's just my situation. But for many of us, don't let people out-trump the God you serve. My husband is not my God, but that's my husband, and I respect the authority and the position that he has in my life and in the house. And if I was a single woman, ain't nobody going to out-trump the God that I serve. I'm not going along with those evil plans and schemes. But let me end with this. So if you keep reading in the Bible, now, this was a wonderful act of Mikhail. And this is what the Holy Ghost had me to write about in the book, her act of intercession for interceding for her husband, David, by saving his life from her daddy. But if you read along a little bit more, and I'm just going to mention this just to teach and prayerfully help somebody. There came a time in the point of the text that David had came back from battle, and I want to say, now don't get me wrong, but I want to say that they had recovered the ark. The ark had got stolen, and they brought it back to Israel. And they said when they brought it back to Israel that David now might be off, so I'm saying that, but it was a circumstance like that. He was coming back from battle, and he was worshiping God. And it says that when he came back, that he was outside and he went into a praise and worship. Hallelujah. And he praised until his clothes came off and he was naked. And guess what? That nakedness didn't stop him. He kept praising the Lord for what he has done. And I do believe it's because they have recovered the ark. And he was just, you know, the ark back in those days represented the presence of God amongst the people of Israel. That's how much that ark meant to them. It represented his presence in the nation, in the city. So he was just in intense praise and worship. And again, I'm summarizing. The Bible said that Mikhail, the same woman we're talking about right here, the same woman we're talking about right here, looked out her window, saw her husband dancing, praising the Lord, and he had got naked. And the Bible says she looked with him in despise. And then it goes on to say that the Lord caused her to be infertile for the rest of her life. This same woman who loved David so much turned around and did that. And I don't mean to rain on nobody parade, but I just got it. It's in the Bible. But guess what, saints? There's always a lesson to be learned. There's always a lesson to be learned. Mikhail was in love with David. She loved her some David. But then David loved God more than he loved her. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He was unashamed of the God that he served. And he wanted to publicly display his adoration unto God. So when he came back and he was the leader of the nation of Israel, and unlike his counterpart, Michael's father Saul, he chose to lead the nation into worship. And see, saints, I'm about to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Saul wanted the nation to worship him. David wanted the nation to worship God. And he outward displayed this through this dance. And when it was time for Michal to be joining in, the praise and the worship that was going on. Look, her, a little bit of her daddy spirit creeped up in her. And she chose to despise. She was looking more at David. She was more worried about his appearance and what he looked like and what people would think and what they would say. And she missed God. And so that makes me wonder, Michal, was David your little God? Did you love him more than you loved God? Because at that point, his, what he was doing was leading, he was the leader. He invoked praise and worship. He said, the ark has came back. We have recovered it in battle. So let's just go ahead and praise the Lord because his presence is here. It's back. And I'm going to worship him like never before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said the attention, the focus is not on me. But the focus is all about God at this moment. Hallelujah. It's all about God at this moment. It's not about what I've been through. It's not about what I'm going through. It's not about who I am. Because I wouldn't even be king without the King of Kings. Oh, can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Total opposite of King Saul. But boy, that little Saul spirit rose up in Michal. And because, now, and it's interesting, her dad was sent a tormenting spirit and she was sent infertility. So why did I say all that, saints? What's the point of this lesson? What's the point? God has to be first. And the decision tonight is, who do you choose to serve unto day? And guess what? God got to be even higher than your spouse. If God ain't in the middle, if he's not the foundation, then what you got? It's going to crumble. And guess what? In your marriage, you're going to be put in the fire. And you're going to be put to the test. And guess what? In your relationships. Because, see, you can be a parent. You can be a child. You can be a sibling. You can be a cousin. You can be an auntie. You can be an uncle. And even in those relationship dynamics, that is going to be tested. Hallelujah. It's going to be tested. And what God is looking for in the midst of the fire is, who do you choose to serve? Who outtrumps everything? Is it your spouse? Is it your children? Is it your job? Is it your career? Is it your position? Who outtrumps who? And saints, the bottom line is this. God needs to outtrump it all. And he, because the truth of the matter is, he already does it. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator. He is the Elohim. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is God our provider. He is God our banner. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lamb. He is the Great I Am. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is all these things already. And by his name alone, he outtrumps everything that you got going on in your life. Hallelujah. But when it's your turn to make the choice, and it was your turn to when the question come to you, when the offer and the opportunity comes to say, now who you going to serve today? What's going to be your choice? Are you going to let others influence you? Or does God have the total influence? David chose to let God be the number one influencer. Even when David erred, he said, I was wrong. God, I sinned against you, God. I sinned against you and you alone, God. So I repent, God, because I worship you, God, in spirit and in truth. And there's nothing higher, greater than you. And you, David, was a worshiper, saints. And Michal should have knew this. This wasn't nothing new. Hallelujah. She saw her husband play the harp for her father. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He didn't just start that worshiping overnight. He didn't just start being sold out to God in the marriage. Hallelujah. He was sold out on the battlefield when he slew Goliath. His mind was made up then when he was a little boy. Before you ever stepped on the scene, Michal, this is who you married. This is who he was. He was a worshiper. And God saw that, and David got the attention. He got God's heart. And Michal, you loved this man. You went to bat for him. And these days we say, I ride or die for you. Oh, she was his ride or die. But then at a point in their marriage, she put a glue in her heart. There was a condition. Oh, I love you as long as you looking and acting like I want you to behave. But now you out here and you worshiping God in these streets and acting a fool, and I don't like that. I despise you for doing that. How you going to despise your own husband for worshiping God? Didn't you learn from your father, Michal? Didn't you learn? So you didn't learn what rebelling against God can do to you? But you still set it up in your heart to do it. So, saints, and that's the lesson right there. When you know, when you've been exposed, when you've been exposed to all of this, and you've been seeing God work, you've been seeing him work in your father, you've seen him work in your husband, you've seen him work in the nation of Israel. And at the end of the day, you want to throw everything out the window? Off of what? Because it ain't got nothing to do with you? And the same thing still happening in the church today, saints. Ooh. 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 Still happening in the body. So many saints going on the right path. They know God. They know what he's done. They know he's been a healer. They know he's been a savior. They know that he's blessed them. They know that he's been good to them. They know that what he brought them out of. And you're going along and you're doing good and you're enjoying the good thing. But then you get complacent. And then you deceive yourself. And then you think it's all about you. Least you forget who's doing it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, saints, what have we learned on today? Well, in the first part, Michal showed us who you're going to choose. You're going to choose righteousness or wickedness. Is it going to come down to doing the right thing or going along with something because you, what, because you family? Because you know. So it's coming down to compromise. Are you going to compromise or not? Number two, where's your heart at? Where's your love at? Is your love conditional or unconditional? Do your love come with conditions? Or is your love unconditional? Are you committed? Are you truly committed or are you just lip service? Number three, at the end part, you know, yes, here's another point. Yes, we can be worshiping and serving God and still make mistakes and mess up. But what is our job to do when we mess up? We need to repent. Repentance is still the way. Repentance. So it don't get preached a lot no more, unfortunately. But repentance is still the way to go. Repentance will keep us. Hallelujah. You know, we don't want to get a tormented spirit. We don't want to miss out on the blessings of God. We don't want to hurt other people. King Saul hurt a lot of people because of his disobedience. He hurt a lot. The nation of Israel, you know, his daughter, you know, because, again, he still has some influence over her. You know, he hurt his own son, Jonathan, you know. Jonathan was David's best friend, you know. And Jonathan chose to do what's right over what's wrong. That's another lesson. But repentance is still important. And so, saints, the next time that you know that you have erred, you have sinned against God, repent. Repent. We don't want, you know, this earth needs to see a demonstration of God through the saints. And we need to represent Christ, and we need to represent him well. We don't want to be the type of Christians that do as I say and not as I do. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We want to not just speak the word. We don't want to just quote the word. We want to do the word. Amen. And then lastly, we got to make sure we don't get like Mikhail later on in life. You know, despise. You know, how do you set up despise in your heart against your spouse or another one in the body or a family member? How do you set up in your heart that you're upset because somebody is choosing to worship God in spirit and in truth? That nakedness of David was a symbolization of what was going on the inside. What was going on the inside just flowed outwardly. At that point, David was free. He was free and he was unashamed. He was unashamed. You know, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were naked and they were unashamed. And when they sinned, that's when they got shamed. But see, when you truly worship God in spirit and in truth, when you truly, and when you, oh Jesus, when you are a leader and it is your honor to lead the people into praise and worship and truly praising and worshiping God in spirit and in truth, saints, that's freedom. That's freedom. That's what that nakedness represented. Being free in Christ, being free. But because of because of her heart condition, she couldn't even see or receive what was going on. She couldn't even participate in the worship. She couldn't even, you know, if she would have joined in that praise and worship, maybe she would have got set free of that hardened heart. How can you despise worshiping God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, saints, I pray that this message blessed you. I pray that it fell on good ground. I pray that the seed will take root and it will bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Saints, I have came with the word. I have came with a message. But I always encourage the saints to go back and read it for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Go back in your word. Get in your word. I'm one of those pastors that say, read it for yourself. I'm not God. I'm just a messenger. Saved by the same grace that you saved by. But you got to go back and you got to read for understanding for yourself. So again, I came out of 1 Samuel chapter 19. Verses 11 through 13. If you want to find out more about that wonderful story of David, King Saul, Michael, read 1 Samuel. Read 1 Samuel and you will find everything there. God bless you. I love you. And I'm open up for comments, questions, or prayer requests. Amen.
Well, this is Evangelist Linda Caceres. That was a message I needed to hear. You pointed out so many things that I wasn't aware of concerning Saul's daughter, David's wife. Mm-hmm. And it was just a blessing.
Amen.
I would like anyone that wants to speak with Pastor Wise or have a prayer request, say something about the message that went forth this evening. If you're streaming in, you can turn your volume off on your computer and dial 929-477-2442. Press 1, and I'll open your mic and give you an opportunity to share your heart. If you've already called in, you can press 1, and I'll open your mic if you have a prayer request or would like to comment on the message. I just thought that every time I think of her, I think of when she was intimidated by mm-hmm. David's worship.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard anybody point out that Saul wanted people to worship him, David wanted people to worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That was very well done. A lot of things you said about her was just powerful. And I think this message should be repeated over and over and over again, especially in the hearts of women. But what I wanted to say was, I've seen so many church leaders take the opportunity to beat people down, to
mm-hmm.
step on them, because they're at a place where they can do that.
Mm.
And they're at a place where they can blackball you, speak against you from one pastor to the other, and they listen, you know, because of their title and their position. And all that David did when Saul was trying to take his life, nobody can take your life unless God allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And when so many attempts were made on David's life by Saul, David cried out to the Lord, and he built the scriptures up. God chose to write in the Bible what David said going through this. And when an opportunity came, David did not use that opportunity to take the life of Saul, even though Saul had been rejected by God. So it's a dangerous thing when you think it's okay to beat somebody down. There's no reconciliation, because if there was, there's no repentance, because if there was, there would be reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Amen. Yeah.
I think of a lot of church leaders that I am so well aware of that have done these things and just walked on, moved on, keep on preaching, you know. So I know if they've done it to me, they've done it to other people, and found a comfortable place in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're motivated at this time in the body of Christ among true believers to become rapture ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a rapture ready position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very dangerous position to be in. Because true repentance will bring reconciliation.
Amen.
And also true repentance will stop you from doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about the fear of the Lord. Saul didn't demonstrate that he had the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He was very clumsy in his leadership position, and the accolades drowned out his wisdom
mm-hmm.
and caused him to ultimately be rejected by God.
Yep.
So if you want to use your wisdom, you know, to the worldly wisdom, the what the world would do, how the world would handle a situation, because there's a lot of things that the world is doing that the church is doing now,
mm-hmm.
and are comfortable in it and use every excuse to validate it. I want the Lord to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome in.
Amen.
Definitely, definitely warning the body of Christ of being rapture ready.
Mm-hmm.
And like the five wise virgins. So Micah was intimidated by what David was doing, and he was just worshiping the Lord. My God, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
didn't hold it against him.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-mm.
You know what? You can be going through so much and worshiping the Lord, and people will still hate you.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to see you worshiping the Lord. I talked against her. I ran her name down through the leadership
mm-hmm.
and caused them to think ill will of him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've heard Jackie McCullough say you could be taking the bus and not have the car that they have. You know, you don't have to have the house like what they have, but you got the anointing that they don't have.
Amen.
And they can't even see it, don't even know why. But the enemy will use them to come up against you because of that anointing. And even in that situation, the anointing will keep you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep you saying, Lord, I forgive that person, because sometimes forgiveness takes a season. Sometimes you have to keep confessing it for it to really happen. But God honors that you just say, I forgive them. I forgive them.
Amen.
So I bless God tonight for this message. Very powerful. You know, David had so many wives, it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then his son patterned after him and got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but like you said, this was a manipulation tactic of Saul to even offer his wife to David. You
mm-hmm.
know, he couldn't see the powerful man of God, but he felt the anointing. And that's what challenged him. That's what challenged him. David had a journey to get to that palace, to get
mm-hmm.
that crown on his head, and he went through hell. But like my pastor used to say, make sure you go through it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and come out. You know, don't stay there. So
amen.
I give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I don't want to be like Micah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm single. The Lord is a powerful gentleman in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He is my first love, and he's faithful. He doesn't betray
amen.
Me. He doesn't do the things that people are subject and capable of doing to other people. I just bless God for you tonight. You just distinguished her
mm-hmm.
and pointed out some things that I had not understood about her and had not
mm-hmm.
even heard. Again, I don't ever hear anybody ministering on her.
Mm-mm.
So I thank you. I'm looking to see if anybody is calling in for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This is Gatekeepers Ministry, International Radio Broadcast. If you've dialed in, press 1, and we'll take your prayer request so you can share something with Pastor Shana. If you're listening by way of streaming at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, turn the volume off on your computer, dial 929-477-2442, press 1, and I'll open your mic so you can share.
Amen.
I'm telling you, prayer is a powerful thing. You know, It really is. I knew God was doing a miracle in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want a diagnosis of what I was feeling. And God divinely intervened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Divinely intervened in my life and did a miracle. I didn't need a diagnosis. I could feel what was going on in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet just surfaced and ministered to me. I did exactly what God told him to tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought forth a miracle and a testimony to his glory.
Amen.
So without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we believe God for your ministry, the success, good success, the Bible says, of the conference coming up. And we just give God all the praise. I'm sorry I'm not there yet, but I'm excited about the Israel trip coming up that we're taking. I wish you were going.
Yeah.
And I'm just full because of how God worked that out.
Amen.
I said, God, you worked out so many things in my life this year.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank him and I give him praise. He worked out so many things. You know, women of God, we need Jesus. He's the main man in our lives. He needs to be. He ought to be. And I thank God. I thank God for you.
Amen.
So we're waiting for some people to call in. Press 1. Give us your prayer request. Otherwise, you have another broadcast, right?
Yes, the final one. It will be on, I won't be on next week, but October 18th. I will
mm-hmm.
be talking about the last broadcast is Lydia, and I believe I titled that "Give Me the Kingdom Mindset, Kingdom Business Mindset of Lydia." And
okay.
On that broadcast, I'm going to be specifically addressing the ones in business.
Mm-hmm.
Business,
cool.
Lydia, business helped to fund Paul's
ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
ministry.
Cool.
So you don't want to miss out on that. There's a lot of people, Christians in business, but still we have to keep in focus the kingdom. And I will be talking about Lydia is that example of how we can make sure to see our business connected to the kingdom. So you don't want to miss
mm-hmm.
that.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I know I'm not going to miss it. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what's the date, the October date for the next broadcast?
That the next date is, let me make sure here, October 18th. So Thursday,
okay, cool.
October 18th at 7 p.m., I will be back for the final of this series. I thank you again for having me on Gatekeepers Ministries International. It has truly been a blessing. And I just praise God for you, Evangelist Linda, for giving
praise
me
God.
This opportunity to share. I never take
well,
for granted.
Tell us how we can get, well, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Last night when I was on this ministry on the phone, I said, I never get to share my story. I never get
mm-hmm.
to minister my story. And I was overwhelmed. The anointing
mm-hmm.
was powerful, and I was blessed. I like to listen to other people's, you know, and I asked God, well, when are you going to use me? And
mm-hmm.
he did last night. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing, and I enjoyed it. Tell us how we can get tickets for your conference.
Yes, you can go on ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com and click on the right at the top. You can click on the tab and you can get the tickets. You can get them at the door. And we're just looking to really have a blessed time in the Lord. We are looking for the Lord to show up. But most importantly, I am believing that somebody's going to get saved next Saturday
mm-hmm.
at the
mm-hmm.
conference. And that's, you know, it's so worth it. It's important. All the energy, the months, the effort, the hard work
mm-hmm.
is worth it. Especially if one comes and says, what must I do to be saved? If the one comes
mm-hmm.
You know, and I am rejoicing mm-hmm. for that one. I'm believing God for that one that's going to come and give their life to Christ on next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I'm telling Amen. You, if I could get a real decent round-trip flight, I'd be there. Mm-hmm. But it's more than one day, isn't it?
No, it's just one day.
Okay, cool.
It's our first conference, so we're going to just do for one day. Maybe in the future we'll have a couple days.
Okay, so it starts at what time?
It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are going to have breakfast and lunch, and we will have gumbo on the menu. So we are excited. We have the speakers are ready to speak. I have a lot of singers and different types of talents that will be ministering on that day as well. So we are just excited. We are just excited. And it is going to be gumbo. It's going to be that good mixture, that good flavor that is just like gumbo. When we come together from different backgrounds, races, denomination, but we're all coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a sweet Amen. Fellowship, and it's a sweet anointing. So I'm just praising God in advance for what he's going to do. Please continue to pray, saints, because it's even, I don't know if you hear, I was a little tired tonight and been a little bit tired, but
Mm-mm.
praise God, I'm just glad that it's about to come to pass. It's coming to fruition,
yeah.
and I just saying thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we bless God tonight. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity again.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And tell us how we can get your book.
Yes, you can just go to Amazon.com, type in my name, Shayna Wise, or Acts of Intercession. The book is also on Kindle, and the book is in Barnes & Noble website.
Praise God. Okay, well, I'm going to shut the service down.
Amen.
The broadcast is coming to an end, and I try to end it by encouraging you to keep in mind that only what you do for Christ will last. This is Pastor Shayna Wise, and I'm Evangelist Linda Cazares saying good night, God bless you, and have God dreams.
Amen. Good night. Bye-bye.